Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is Dr. John Stamey with a scary cast extra. We're so glad we've got Mark Johnston with us tonight, our man from Niagara Falls, Canada. He's been a great asset to this podcast and is a good friend. Mark, how are you doing tonight?
Excellent, John. I'm really happy to talk with you again one-on-one. I was normally with you on Monday's night for your scary cast. Last night I was unable to be on your show, but I hope to make it up to you tonight with a good one and talk about some good things. And I'm really happy about the news that you told me, which I'm sure you'll talk about right now or tonight, which is dealing with your Georgia Bigfoot Conference.
Oh, absolutely. We've got the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. People are buying tickets left and right. We've got vendors coming in. We got a lot of exciting things going on. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But why don't you tell us what our topic is? It is magical, isn't it?
Well, I'd just like to say happy February, which is the second month, 22nd, 2022. And it just so happens to be Tuesday of all days. So we got a lot of twos, and you know, I'm not somebody who's like in my past can put too much like thought into the whole numerology thing. Although I always knew that mathematics, like I have a mathematical background. I was in engineering at one time, mechanical engineering. So I understand the magic of numbers, to be honest, and especially things like threes and Fibonacci sequences and like sacred geometries and trigonometry. Like I've always been into this type of thing, but like numerology as it comes to like dates and you know, this type of thing, or names, like, you know, how you can add up the letters of a name and it adds up to a certain numerology, and they say that means a certain thing. I believe in Hebrew language there's more significance in that, actually, and maybe it goes back to even Egyptian things as well. But what I want to talk about today is just, like, the whole phenomenon of today and why maybe there is actually some importance here and how it actually has to do with an astrological kind of phenomenon as well. So it's not just numerological. Numerological, it's like it goes hand in hand. So that makes it
Now, before you get into astrology, I want to let everybody know a couple of things that I have become familiar with over the years. Number one, the first science was astrology. Are you aware of that?
Well, I imagine that one thing, astrology or astronomy in itself, that people always look to the stars and they wanted to map out the movement because that was a natural movement they saw. And obviously, I know you've been to places outside of a city where you can see like the brightness of the stars, and that's how it was like in ancient times, obviously, because we didn't have cities with light pollution. You can see the Milky Way galaxy, you can see the brightest stars, you can see certain things in the sky that in just a city skyscape you don't normally see. So I imagine there was some interest there in that movement. So when it comes to astrology and the significance of stars and brighter stars in the sky and ones that move in a certain way, that, there was always that.
Well,
that was, I imagine that would have been a big foundation for science.
Listen, today we have the National Science Foundation. Back in the day, back in the 1600s and 1700s, we had alchemy and we had astrology. And that's what all the learned people did. And surgeons, we love Dr. Trey Dunaway. But surgeons started out as barbers. They cut hair and let blood. So, I mean, we've come a long way. But back in the day, 300, 400, 500 years ago, what we had was astrology and alchemy. And now today we have scientists that think they're better than this. And maybe they are, but maybe they're not. I can tell you that with my adventure in writing the book Introduction to Sorcery with Jason McClendon, who is a sorcerer down in Alabama, I learned a lot. And I've always known a lot of things that, you know, I think astrology is a beautiful science and everything, and tarot is a beautiful way to divine. I divine actually with dowsing rods, and I've got them sitting right here. And believe me, they work. I can find spirits as quick as anybody. So people need to realize that what you're going to talk about is not so dumb and not so old-fashioned. It might be fairly accurate, don't you think?
Well, on that note, John, like actually my background, like growing up, has been a lot in astrology because my dad himself, since the 60s, like he grew up in those hippie times where you know, there was these types of existential ways of looking at things were a big part of that whole movement. And him and his friends, they learned astrology at that time in the 60s. And so growing up, even to this day, he's practicing astrology with birth charts, which is like the map of the planets and the, you know, angles they make when you're born. And then you make that in relation to planets today. You have these things called transits, which are the transits, which is makes the angles to the where the planet might be and where you're born. So you might have like, and it also do with the horoscope too, like the actual house it's in, that type of thing. So there's a lot of things involved. And just on, I just want to say, I obviously want to get into a lot of things, but in doing this, I actually found, like, surprisingly some validity in a lot of the readings I've done of myself and people that I've known personally, like who've been girlfriends and close friends that I've done these birth charts with. It actually surprisingly, like, is pretty accurate sometimes in a scary way. It's like, what? Like, calls them out. Like, it's not just totally random in that regard. Have you
wow.
any experience with astrology or anything like that? Like with birth chart, have you ever had your birth charts done, or have you ever had transits done?
Well, yes, we will leave that to another broadcast. Is that okay?
Okay. Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean,
yeah, let's get into today's topic. We don't want to go too off topic.
I want to get into it. This is fantastic because this is the only time when we got all twos and zeros. The only
exactly,
time.
Exactly, and like... It's pretty interesting phenomenon, and not just numerologic. Okay, so, like, even though it might not make any, like, importance to us or whatever, there might be an occult groups where it actually does, where based on Gregorian calendar or whatever, it's, like, it's their sciences, their history that, you know, their groups kind of, say, in an occult sense, made. And there might be some occult kind of things going way back with ancient, like, calendar types of things that go to today, Western ways of thinking things and how it's all mapped out. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's something to that,
well,
that they follow, that there is a following
yeah.
of these important dates.
And you know what's
especially
interesting
when there's...
The word occult means unknown.
Yeah.
And we have attached to it the significance of strange unknown. But it just means unknown. It's just a simple word. It's in the dictionary. It's in Webster's dictionary. It means unknown. So, you know, people don't need to attach such strange meanings to just normal words. That's just me.
Absolutely. Well, going into the whole relation of today, not just the numerological way, which there could be significance with the number two. Like, obviously, in a mathematical sense, like, you're a computer science, like, binary language is all based off twos, right? Things like this, like if you looked at it, like it's almost like a binary code. And the thing about it today, it's also a palindrome, and the one that's also upside down. What are those called? Like, I should have been more prepared for this, but they're like, it could be either back and forth or upside down and vice versa. Anadrome or something like that. Palindrome's back and forth. But anyways, both of those, just to say too. So it's not just
The longest palindrome is able was I ere I saw Elba. I mean, that's a palindrome. And coming from a computer science background, and that's where I got my doctorate, you know, if you can flip something around and it's the same, then that's a palindrome. That's all it is.
And it also upside down, vice versa, too. It makes the same. There's a specific name for that. So I don't remember at this time. I think it's called an anagram or something like that. But anyway, that's that as well.
I got to tell. I'm sorry for interrupting you. You keep saying these things that just make great triggers. The coolest anagram in pop culture history came in a 1968 movie called Rosemary's Baby, and everybody needs to see Rosemary's Baby. And the anagram had to do with how she determined that they were witches. So it's really cool. It's basically Scrabble. An anagram is Scrabble. You take words and move letters and move them around. That's what an anagram is.
Cool.
Simple.
Well, I imagine things like with symbols, like if you're dealing with magic, like I know we're discussing on another week, memory, like things with magic or like just memory, it's like you have symbols that kind of attach these meanings and anchors to them. Even in hypnosis, this is a big deal, right? And I think that it's kind of in that regard that there's certain kind of archetypes that we adhere to in our personality, and astrology might be one of those ways where symbolically as well, having to do with the planet's rotation, for example, every planet or planetary body, like the moon rotates us like 28.5 days, like for its cycle. the Sun, obviously, a year. Jupiter's like 13 years. The Saturn's like 27 to 30. Speaking on Saturn, that's when all the celebrities die, too, in that age, right, with Jimi Hendrix and that, or like Jim Morrison,
mm-hmm.
Janis Joplin, things like that. And Uranus is 84. Pluto is 225 years around rotation. So that's beyond like two lifetimes. So anything that has to do with astrology that has to do with Pluto rotation, it has to do with more intergenerational type of changes, which what I brought to you today was the fact that apparently we are in this time, the 225 years to Independence Day, 1776. Now, what was important about the year 1776, John, as somebody who's an American, I'm a Canadian?
Well, okay, right. It might not have been a Canadian thing, but 1776, July the 4th, 1776, that's when America declared its independence from Great Britain. That was Independence
Day. Now, if you were to
think,
it was a major day. It was the day birth of the USA and the birth of the American ideology and the American dream, correct?
Right.
So
the American dream,
that was the birth of an era. Right?
The American dream, which seems to be being squelched right now, but some people like you and me and my buddies, we're not going to let the American dream go away because the great Robert Ringer wrote a book called Restoring the American Dream, and everybody needs to read that book.
Don't you think the birth of liberty and American dream and freedom would be like one of the biggest things that ever happened in humanity or time in general?
Yes.
So wouldn't there be an astrological correlation in that regard?
Well, there.
Astrology is true.
There should be. We're in the age of Aquarius right now, which started it early on was in like about the 1850s, and that is when we started because that's what the great Vera Reed was like considered one of the greatest astrologers in the world, and Vera Reed wrote a book called about Aquarius, and I've got it right over there on my bookshelf. And she talked about how the age of Aquarius was the great awakening. And so we are, and it started, you know, peeping out in the 1850s. And, you know, we have Woodstock, which was the first really great, gigantic awakening in this astrological time. We had Woodstock, and then I guess we're waiting for our next one. But we're feeling the effects of it.
Yeah. But you know that, like, there's different planets have different cycles. Like I was saying before, you can map them out in years. Like Jupiter is 13 years for a full year of Jupiter, right, if you're on Jupiter to rotate around the sun. Saturn is 27 around. And I what I was mentioning before is Saturn seems to be, like, 27 years is, like, the time when all these celebrities die. So I think it's, like, a time where, like, when you have your Saturn cycle from where you're born, you're having some major, like, kind of existential thing going on. And if you're able to get through it, you graduate and you mature through that cycle of development because there's that level of development. There's development that happened when you're very young, like when you're walking and talking. And there's development when you're a teenager, in puberty, and this type, and social development. But then there's also later ones as well. And those correlate, I think, to the longer rotational planets such as Neptune, Uranus, Pluto, which we're talking about today, which is even beyond, like, it's beyond once-in-a-lifetime types of occurrences.
Well, it really is. And, you know, what's interesting, you talk about once-in-a-lifetime. One of the greatest celebrities in the entire world ever was Samuel Clemens, better known as Mark Twain. And I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this. Are you familiar with Halley's Comet?
Of course. So it's around like 80 years every year. 80 years it comes around.
That's right. When he was born, he was born under Halley's Comet. And when he passed away upon the return of Halley's Comet, and it gives me chills.
Do you remember that there was that cult that was Heaven's Gate? It was during Halley's Comet, I believe, in the 90s. And what they were very Saturn-based. They all wore Nike shoes when they committed suicide. It was like because of the swoop. It was like Nike. That's what they say. It was like a Saturn cult based on Halley's Comet where they all wanted to commit suicide and thought they would go up to alien mothership or something. No joke. And there was this one creepy old guy.
You're talking about the Jim Jones thing?
No, it's not Jim Jones. It was 90s. It was after that. It was Heaven's Gate cult. It was like a creepy old bald dude.
Okay.
And they all cut off their balls and they all castrated themselves or something, part of their cult, and then they committed suicide during Halley's Comet and then when it passed in the 90s. I remember when that happened.
I guess maybe not. Maybe I don't remember that too much. I was in the middle of trying to create a business down in Clemson, and there are a lot of things that
speaking
I
about a cult. Yeah, it's just like it was just speaking of occult, like that was what it was. It was like occult, like it's a cult that had to do with Saturn and Halley's Comet, like you mentioned, you brought it up of that comet and the importance of that. Like there was some weird kind of things that, you know, that people associate or attach to that. Maybe that's all this is with the 222. It's just what people are attaching to it. It doesn't necessarily, you know, what the innate meaning of it could be completely different to their perception of it, right?
Well, it could. But we don't know, and a lot of scientists, well, most scientists do not study astrology anymore. But there are still those of us that still look at it, and there are some very serious-minded people that study astrology, and I think that's wonderful. I mean, the more, you know, I'm a man of learning. I guess people have called me a Renaissance man because sometimes I just attach myself to something, and I try to go right into it. It's like right now I've got a and you and I discussed this on Scarycast, I've got an amazing UFO story, and I have gone down deep. I have probed. I've got people to interview, and I've got two ladies to interview, and then I'll have the beginning of the whole story. I'm not going to say I have the whole story, but I've got to talk to our friend Robin McCrae because I think these aliens were actually Bigfoot, and that's the way it kind of plays out. They're Bigfoot, I believe, but we'll see. But, you know, it's just a matter of studying, and I think studying is a great thing. It keeps your mind fluid. It keeps your mind it's the best thing in the world to do is to study. So
well,
the more people
being, keeping your mind
astrology or whatever, I think it's great.
Keeping your mind open is a way to just keep your mind flexible, and, you know, open-mindedness is how you – like a lens can bring light in and focus light into your brain in a way that you can perceive things and understand things. If you don't have openness in your lens, then the lens is very closed. It's like, you know, those blinders you put on a horse or like, you know, very tunnel vision. You don't see the whole picture. You don't see their peripheral and everything, how it's attached, how the gestalt or gestalt of reality, right? And in that sense, we have to have an open mind always.
But we need to have an open mind. That's the only way that science will mature. As I keep saying, and I found out that Nikola Tesla said the same thing, you know, what is science fiction and what is witchcraft 100 years ago is science today. And I don't know why people don't realize that.
Well, like
paranormal
100
years ago is science of today.
Yeah, if you go to some tribes, even like recently, that are out in the Amazon or whatever, and you bring them a mirror and you show them their own reflection, they're like, "Whoa!" It trips them out almost, right? Because they don't have anything like that where they can see themselves clearly. Now, think about that in a metaphorical sense, but also things like photography. When you like take a Polaroid of some people in their experienced cameras and then you show them a picture, "Hey, there's you." It's like, "What?" Like, imagine that. Like, we take that thing for granted, but like a captured image on like a Polaroid on a piece of like, you know, paper that you can move around, you'd be like, "What? Like, that's me? That's crazy. How did you do that?" You know, but that's so now we take that for granted. But what's the next level of these things that are actually happening? Because we just haven't discovered yet. It's there. It's just waiting for us to be discovered. But we need to reach that developmental point in technology and innovation and all this. But we just have to tap into that as well.
True.
Does that make sense?
That's very true. And I'm glad that you didn't hit the matrix yet.
Well, maybe it relates to astrology like as well. Like if there was a greater map and timeline and like things were like clockwork, like imagine if like everything was pre-programmed, you're a programmer yourself, and it's going through a number of like for loops or like if-then loops. type of thing. You know about those, right, where it's going through cycles. Now, what are we doing? For loops or cycles or like, you know, go here until this happens and then, you know, the program completes this cycle in a sense, right? And if that was all mapped out with things like planets, where we're dealing with spheres moving through cycles, frequencies on a greater scheme of things, and we're immersed in this frequency dynamic, that's how I could see astrology playing out. That's how I could see even numerology playing out, because we're just immersed in a mathematical universe. Everything's just mapped out in all these things, and there's like all these golden proportions and beautiful kind of complexities that happen fractal-wise or geometrical-wise, and, you know, how you invest money even and things like that. And this could be the whole new cycle that's happening. It could be a whole new chapter of finance. Could have something to do with cryptocurrencies or next level, you know, evolution of our, you know, markets, so to speak. Like, well, there could be a number of things involved with interplay and changes that are unexpected. Respect the unexpected.
Absolutely. You should expect the unexpected.
And, respect the unexpected.
Respect the unexpected, yeah. Well, I mean, like today. I mean, a major international incident happened. Russia invaded the Ukraine. Is that going to be the end of the end or the beginning of something new? We don't know.
Well,
but it's certainly,
all I know is Russia
has
Russia has these intercontinental ballistic missiles called Satan, so it very well could be the end of the end. And during the first atomic test, there was the guy who made the bomb witnessing it quoted a Shiva, famous Hindu quote of the end of time. So that it very well could be. But the thing is, though, it could be even bigger than that. Like atomic energy we developed in the 40s, that could have been part of that cycle. We could be reaching a whole new level. It could be a peaceful thing. It could be a thing of self-development. It could be a thing of creativity, soul purpose, reality manifestation, truth, togetherness. It could be all these things as well, like that's next level, and maybe optimism. So let's not look at things like new chapters as being, it could be a new era, it could be a new paradigm. Like we went through Newtonian era, we went through computational eras of, we went through like, you know, tech era. Now there could be a whole new era of, you know, the possibilities are endless. If you think about what happened in the last 20 years, what will happen in 20 years from now, it's everybody's guess.
Well, it certainly is everybody's guess, Mark, and we don't know, but we'll just have to basically all stay tuned to the news and see what's happening in the Ukraine and see how it pans out, because everything has a ripple effect and it will get over here. So anyway, that's interesting, and it's very cool that you've talked about 02/22/2022. So now, do you have any more news about that great date that we're sitting in today?
Well, I know it's in the 27th degree of Capricorn, and this has to do with, I think, societal transformation and changes for the better. That's everybody's guess again, like I can say. But I think based on the fact that it is on the 1776 date of Pluto cycle, that it should be optimistic, would it not? Because that was the greatest thing that's happened for the West, and that's been the platform of, you know, a lot of people talk crap about capitalism, but like the modern day capitalism that's brought a lot of people out of the poverty, like probably a lot of our relatives, like mine, probably were not well off back in the day, but you know, we're doing good now, right? It's brought a lot of people out of poverty. And I think that's part of the human evolution. Like we're hopefully we all go in the future where poverty is a thing of the past, and we all strive towards greater things, greater common goals and aspirations that are, you know, based out of truth. And I would hope that if there was astrology things, that's part of the greater picture too. Is like, you know, part of our evolution and part of our like education, like in intergenerational education, if you would think about that. Like if I lived to be 10,000 years, you know, I was trying to teach, you know, a bunch of generations that were dying off in front of me, I'd probably, you know, have a grander scheme of things too, right? And I imagine the universe does too.
Right. The universe certainly knows what's going on. But anyway, those are good observations, and we really appreciate you taking the time to do this. Do you have any other topics that you would like to discuss? Because you're an interesting guy, and you've got a lot of good insight. So other than 02-22-2022, do you have any other topics you'd like for us to touch on tonight?
Well, I talked about this briefly the other day, which was I was watching a Gaia series. Gaia is this station that's online where you can watch shows or new documentaries on things that have to do with extraterrestrial, spiritual development, psychedelics, lots of different topics. But I was watching one that had to do with ancient civilizations and kind of some theories that had to relate to that. And there was different ones, but the one that specifically I want to talk about today had to do with pyramids. And pyramid energy, and how potentially these ancient pyramids were bringing in either cosmic energy or interdimensional energy into the society, and they built them on a grid to, you know, bring energy to that grid system and part of our evolution. Which, you know, there's a lot of things there that's interesting. It raises interesting questions, right? But for me, on a more, I look at things very practically and very scientifically, like even every topic we've talked about, Bigfoots and ETs in the past, like, don't I try to bring something, like, don't I try to relate it to something very, like, observational, like, concrete, root, everything that I'm saying, and something that's, like,
absolutely.
I try to relate to. Mm-hmm. And in this sense, I do as well, which is, like, as far as the pyramids go and things, like, I think looking at it, they look like giant pinhole cameras, just to put simply. Now, I'm a photographer by trade back in the day. I worked at some of the biggest nightclubs in the world as a nightclub photographer over the years, in Niagara Falls even too, in Spain and different places. So, but it's not just that. It's just like, have you ever, like, during an eclipse, you have a cardboard box and you poke a hole in the box. And if that reflection hits the other side of the box, you can actually see the full eclipse take place on shadow form in the box. Have you ever done that experiment?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, in that sense, that's like a pinhole camera, okay? So, essentially, you have a pin of light that shines through, and you can control the shutter speed of that pin of light coming through, right? So, you can, like, open it and close it on different lengths. That's, like, you know, exposure, we call it. And you can also change, like, length of the lens and things in, like, in that sense, aperture. And then you can also change sensitivity, which is, like, sensitivity of the lens, whatever lens you're using. And I don't know what lens potentially the Egyptians were using, but by the things of the King's Chamber, and the it looks like a pinhole camera, I'm not going to lie, and there's multiple reasons for this. First of all, the Egyptians were very interested in the stars, were they not?
Yes, they were.
And second of all, they were very interested in imagery, like the Eye of Horus, like is a literal eye that they worshipped. So would they not be interested in imaging or imagery?
Well, they certainly would.
And aren't their language all a bunch of pictures? Like, don't they like images of pictures and things?
Yes, they are. Those hieroglyphics are pictures.
So what I think is they're looking at the stars in ancient Egypt, like where there's no, like, light pollution. So looking at these things. And they just want a better view of the stars, not just any stars. Like, if you look up at the stars, it looks like a two-dimensional thing. But there's actually ones that are in our stellar neighborhood that are very close, like Orion and Pleiades and things like this, right? Sirius. And essentially what they know is these are the close ones. So, hey, we're into imaging and all, right? So why don't we get a better look at these things up in the sky, these balls or gods? And I think they found an ingenious way that not just involves light, but I think the whole pyramid itself shields the inner chambers based on, like, how depth it is, because you're creating, like, an external depth, like, of the planet, extension of Earth itself. Like, you know, there's subterranean things that are better for cellars and whatnot, but maybe for imaging too. Like, and CERN, I think, is built underground, so it doesn't have as much cosmic radiation disturbances, and that's what I'm thinking it is. So they're taking, like, images like SETI telescope of maybe radio or light X-ray, I'm thinking, or infrared or ultraviolet type of things. Obviously, I don't know exactly, but this is my hypothesis or theory, because, and the other thing is too, that they had close to the pyramids was these obelisks that could date the time cycle of the year to a T, like the equinox, and the based on shadows of these obelisks, which are giant posts that come out of the ground, like the one in D.C. And the thing is, though, I think that was based on the fact that they could take pictures at then very focused time years. It's like, okay, if we open the shutter speed to the Great Pyramid during when the obelisks are like this, and this, we just open it for, you know, a minute and close it, boom, then we'll capture an image of that time of the sky based on that equinox, based on that period, and we'll have a beautiful image, and we can predict where the moon's going to be at that time, or the Mars is, or Jupiter. You know what I mean? They could predict things like that at that time, but I think they're more interested in the stars than themselves. They want to get a bit better image of the stars, and that's what they were doing with the pyramids, because that's where, based on the angles of the Earth and everything, and the geometry of the pyramid itself, and they're pointed towards Orion at the right angle, and the king's chamber went to one direction, and inside there's a bunch, I think, where there is some type of lens inside that focused it, just like lenses of a Hubble telescope. And then some type of phospho, like some material that could then they could record to in a dark room, like a lens or like a film. That's my prediction. What do you think about that, Chuck?
Well, that is very interesting. I've quit making predictions because I guess I'm too busy trying to create the future rather than predict the future. Because I guess, you know, to get back to something you mentioned, the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, we didn't have it for 2 years because of COVID, and now we're having it, and there has been an outpouring that's been unbelievable. And I think people are interested in, and I hate to use the word paranormal, I think they're interested in reality, because I know for a fact, and I'll state this in front of a Supreme Court or anything, Bigfoot is real. Seen Bigfoot about 20 times, so I know Bigfoot is real. I think we're getting into a time when folks don't mind saying that they really don't, because Jessica Jones, who's going to be our guest on ScaryCast on April the 12th, I believe, she is a Bigfoot researcher, and she loves the whole idea of Bigfoot and the field of Bigfoot, and working with her fellow researchers and trying to understand what's going on. And I think that might be the change that's going on, is that we are now, and I think a lot of people don't look at this, but we are now looking for Bigfoot. We are looking for cryptids. I mean, I'll go ahead and say that I'm getting ready to put on a Bigfoot conference in the center of Tennessee, where a man just donated a 9-foot-tall Bigfoot statue to the town, and they're thrilled about it. And several of us have discussed how popular what we used to call the paranormal really is. I mean, we all know that there's essentially been disclosure that UFOs exist. And so many of us have had Bigfoot experiences and other types of cryptid experiences. So, I mean, I think that might be the awakening that Vera Reed and all these other astrologers are talking about. What do you think about that?
Well, it very well could be when, like, we're going back to the fact that this is the 225 anniversary of the Declaration of Independence in 1776, which is essentially, like, not just for the United States, for humanity in general, the liberty that's involved and the freedom. That's what it's based off. That's been the premise ever since. Now, it could come into another cycle where there could be a whole new level of liberty, or, like, transcendence of the general system. Before, it was transcendence of, you know, the king of England, right? But now it's like transcendence of another old age, and like a caterpillar coming out, or like, you know, you shed your shell. There's a whole new fresh idea waiting to come out, and I think that's what's happening now. So never-ending blossoming of ideas and things that you don't expect. Like, if you adhere to the old system thinking that that's the strength, you're going to grip onto that till it becomes nothing but, like, you know, a leaf in the autumn where it just falls from a tree, like dead. It's beautiful, but hey, you're gripping onto that thing to death, right? And you're not a part of the ever evolving rebirth that happens.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've discussed some good ideas, and if we don't have any more, we will. Mark, I would like to ask you to come back for another ScaryCast special next week. Would you do that with us on Tuesday night?
Yeah, man. I enjoy these conversations because I just look at this as me and you just having a normal conversation we normally do, like me and you have all the time. And this is just
right.
We're recording
and,
it and we're putting it out
and
there.
You're not
it's
just
really
doing
beautiful.
It privately on a phone conference. We're
yeah.
telling everybody, and it's a lot of fun. So I'm going to ask you back. We're going to be back, everybody, 8 o'clock, 8 p.m., next Tuesday night, Mark Johnston and I having a frank, serious, and interesting discussion, and we're going to have fun. So I want to tell everyone to have a great weekend, and check out GeorgiaBigfootConference.org or check us out on Facebook. I've got a few pictures I'm going to put up, and you can come see Mark Johnston there, assuming he can get out of Canada.
I hope so. You know, things are, we're in a very odd situation in Canada right now as far as freedoms and things go, but hopefully I'll be allowed unvaccinated to travel across to Buffalo and then down to the States. It's not too far. You're not too far away. Like, you're just within, you know, a 12-hour drive. Like, it would be beautiful to come down and see it.
Well, that's great. Well, we look forward to having you down here if we can get you. And I want to thank you for being here on the ScaryCast Extra, the magic of 0222. 2022. I got that right, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. And on a Tuesday of all days, too.
It's a heck of a tongue twister. So anyway, thanks a lot for being here with us, Mark. It's been a blast. And we'll talk to everybody. We'll see you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the one, the only ScaryCast. We'll see you then. Goodbye. Bye, Mark.
Good night, John. Thanks.